Appreciate that special. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. And if you're able, I got three different passages for you to open to. Primarily, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 12. We're also going to be drawing from Mark chapter 3 and Luke chapter 6. These are parallel passages, different accounts from different of the Gospels for the same event. Matthew 12, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 14, and then Mark 3, 1 through 6, Luke 6, 6 to 11. If you're taking notes, you can jot all that down, and perhaps that'll help. Matthew 12, 9 to 14, Mark 3, 1 to 6, and Luke 6, 6 to 11. This evening, we're going to learn about the man with the withered hand. There was a pastor who got in the pulpit, and he had a big bandage on his face, and he said, "I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and I cut my face while I was shaving," and somebody out in the audience said, "Next time, think about your face and cut the sermon." You know, I read that, and I thought, you know, there's a few guys in our church. I got an idea of some people that might be thinking stuff like that sometimes. I hope you don't ever feel like that at the end of the preaching. I hope that God's word always blesses your heart. And no matter who's preaching, that you just love the word of God and it touches your heart. And we're going to learn about the man with the withered hand tonight. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read Matthew 12, verses 9 through 14, and get into the message tonight. "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for over and over showing us your great power to heal, and that you are the Lord of the Sabbath and you're the Lord of everything. Father, help us to realize tonight that you are the Lord of our lives, that you have the power to heal all of the things in our lives, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual, that you have power over all things. Lord, help us to trust in you, to love you. And may you get the glory from this night, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Don't intend to preach a long time, so hopefully you won't be hoping next time I trim the sermon. But this evening we want to learn about this man with the withered hand. And would you notice, first of all, the condition of the handicapped man? We read here, "When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." In Mark's account, the Bible says he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand. And in Luke, it says this, "It came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered." And just, I wanted to show you that as an example, and we'll do that throughout the message tonight, just to show you that when you study all of the accounts in Scripture, you get the whole picture. You get a little different perspective, a little different wording. There's no conflict. There's no contradiction or anything at all. You just get a different account of it, and you learn a little bit more. Here we learn that when he went into the synagogue this time, it was a different Sabbath day. This wasn't the same Sabbath day we learned about last week. It's a different Sabbath day. We learned that he went to the synagogue, not just to hear what they had to say, but he went there to teach. And we know that Jesus did that often. When they had the time of opportunity that they could come and read a portion of Scripture and expound on that, Jesus did that. And he went there to teach them. We also find out that the man's hand that was withered was his right hand. I was teasing somebody a minute ago about being a southpaw. He wasn't left-handed. He was more than likely he was right-handed. And so his handicap would have hurt him greatly. There are some sources outside of the Bible, so take that for what it's worth. There's some other historical writings actually about this man that said that he was a masonry worker, that he was a rock layer. And you can imagine a man having a withered hand, what that would be like trying to work. And he would have been severely handicapped, unable to work, and probably very, very poor. This word withered simply means dried up. As a matter of fact, that word is used to describe land that has experienced great drought. It's withered. It's dried up. And that's the description that God uses to describe this man's hand. And listen, we don't know. Maybe he was injured. More than likely, by the wording of it, he was injured. And this wasn't something he was born with. This was something that happened later. But you know, when somebody gets injured and they're no longer able to use that hand, that disuse will cause the muscles to atrophy, and it'll draw up and it'll shrink up. And he was in a bad, bad case there that day. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. I want you to just get this, and I don't want to read into it too much, but I think it's interesting to think about this. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And just to draw a little parallel for a second, and I'm not saying this man had done any wrong or anything like that. I just want you to get this. If you are unwilling to exercise yourself to godliness, if you are unwilling to do what you can when you can, you might find yourself in a position where you can't do what you want to do. That was pretty wordy. Let me give you an example. I've seen it in my life where people who could go to church don't go to church, and before long they get themselves in a position where they can't go to church. I've seen people in church that could serve in some way in the church. They could actively be involved with teaching or helping or cleaning or working in some way, and they choose not to do that work. And guess what? Because they choose not to do their work, they end up getting to a place where they cannot do that work that they would want to. And let me just encourage you that if you are drawing breath today, God has you here for a reason, and you can do something for the Lord. You can exercise yourself to godliness, and I'd challenge you to do that. Otherwise, you might find yourself withered up in some way. Amen. That wasn't any fun to amen at all, was it? The condition of the handicapped man. Notice second, the conniving of the hard-hearted Jews. In verse 10, it goes on to say, "And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" Now, I don't know exactly how this went, but they had a building where the people would gather together. They didn't have air conditioning or heating, by the way, and they didn't have padded pews. They didn't even have to worry about arguing what color they were going to be. They just came in, and more than likely, those men stood, or they sat down on the floor, and they were all there to hear from the Word of God, and that was their kind of basically for that time period, that was their church services, if you will. And so they all got together there, and I don't know exactly how it worked, but it was a known fact that this man was there. And I don't know if the guy was standing by the door with his withered hand, and so that everybody that came in noticed. Perhaps he was there asking for alms as people came in, or we don't know exactly, but we know that Jesus noticed the man because Jesus knows everything, but we also know that the Jews noticed the man there, and they saw the man, and they knew that Jesus saw the man, so they said, I got an idea that fellow's going to try to get healed. Jesus is going to heal that guy. And so they ask him, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Because they believed it was unlawful to do anything on the Sabbath day. So, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Why? Because they wanted the man to be helped? No, so that they might accuse him. It's interesting when you look at Mark's account in verse 2, Mark 3 and verse 2, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And again in Luke 7, chapter 6 and verse 7, the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. I want you to notice something about these hard-hearted Jews. They were looking for a way to accuse the Lord. When I think about accusing, I can't help but think about Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. For the Bible says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And let me tell you something. Somebody that spends all their time trying to find some way to accuse somebody else is acting like the devil. Amen. Amen. And when you and I act like that, we're acting like the devil too. You need to watch your heart, check your heart. If you're not real careful, you'll find yourself just looking for somebody to do something wrong so that you can feel better about yourself. Now, listen, I'm not saying that if you notice somebody doing something wrong, that I'm talking about somebody going out of their way to find somebody doing something wrong. Listen, a group this size, there's going to be somebody doing something wrong. All the time. And when somebody is doing something wrong and you see it, you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for them. You ought to go to them in love and try to help them. What you ought not do is go tell somebody else about how they messed up. And can I say this? If somebody does something that's worth making an accusation against and they have offended you personally, can I just remind you that the response to that is to go to that person, talk to him about it? Now, there's not a soul in this room that doesn't know that that's the truth. But I'm going to tell you, there's very few souls in this room who are willing to actually practice that. And when we are unwilling to do that, it'll cause problems not just today, but for years and years to come. Listen, we don't need to be like these hard-hearted Jews going around trying to find accusation. That's all they wanted to do. Find something that they could find wrong with Jesus. And by the way, they made themselves professionals at finding what everybody else was doing wrong. And guess what? Year after year after year, they tried to find something that they could accuse Jesus of, and they never could. The only accusation they could ever make against Jesus Christ was, he claims to be God. And he did. And he is. The conniving of the hard-hearted Jews. Notice not only the condition of the handicapped man, the conniving of the hard-hearted Jews, but the compassion of the helpful Savior. Jesus gives an answer to him. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, he says, consider a sheep. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? He says to all the men there, they're like, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it okay to do that? And so let me give you an example. Let's say that one of your sheep falls into a pit. Are you going to leave it there? Are you going to leave it there to starve? Are you going to leave it there to die of thirst? Are you going to leave it there to be injured or to be eaten by some predator? No. There's not a person in this room that if your sheep falls into the ditch, whatever day of the week it is, even on the Sabbath day, you're going to go get it out of the pit. You're going to violate the Sabbath day. You're going to profane the Sabbath day because you're going to save your lamb. Any one of you would do that. And you'll notice that they didn't answer a word to that because they couldn't. Amen. They knew it's true. And so Jesus says, consider a sheep. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Consider a sheep. You see, these men prided themselves on keeping the law. They prided themselves on their observance of the Sabbath day. They were trusting in their good works to save them, to make them right with God. And Jesus just puts them in their place. Even you, you're not going to keep the Sabbath when it comes to one of your lambs. You're not going to keep the Sabbath when it comes to one of your sheep. And how much better is a man? Now, I don't know exactly how all this played out, but I've got it in my mind that so far, Jesus hasn't directly acknowledged the man with the withered hand. I think that the Jews are trying to set him up. Before we bring this guy into it, they say, is it lawful to do this? Because they're hoping off to the side they're going to bring this man with the withered hand in a minute. They're hoping in a minute they can get him to say, no, you can't heal on the Sabbath day, and then they're going to trip him up because they know he will. And I don't think Jesus has brought the man with the withered hand in yet. I think he answers their question first to set them up. Amen. So is a sheep better than a man, or is a man better than a sheep? And then Jesus says to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 3, he tells the man with the withered hand, stand forth. I love what Luke chapter 6 and verse 8 says. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Is a sheep better than a man? It's good. It's right. It's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. He knew their thoughts, so then he turns to the man and says, stand forth. And the man gets up and stands in front of everybody. I can't even imagine what it was like for that guy. Maybe there's a couple hundred people there. We don't know exactly, but there's probably a pretty good crowd there. And the man stands up in front of everybody, and he says, consider a sheep. And then he says, look at this man. And here he stands in front of everybody with his hand drawn up, with his hand withered. No doubt he was part of the community. They had seen him. They knew. Maybe what we learned from history is true. And we go, you know, he laid the rock on that wall down there by my house. You know, I remember when he used to work, he was good at his trade. Maybe as he stands in front of him, some of the men start to kind of think, man, I feel sorry for that guy. It's real bad what happened to him. But you know, there were some in that group that never had any compassion for that man at all. Jesus got the guy up in front of them so that they could see. And so they would be confronted with their own heart, whether they would have compassion or not. I want to challenge you as you go through your week that you would open your eyes. Our community's in sad shape. Our nation is in terrible shape. And rather than sticking our chest out and our nose up in the air and thinking how good we are, we ought to have pity on these people who are living without God. We ought to have compassion on these people that don't know Christ. We ought to have compassion on these people. And you say, well, they ought to know better. Well, they don't know better if they don't know Christ. Well, they ought not live like that. Well, of course they ought not live like that, but they can't live any different if they don't know Christ. Amen. We consider the problems in our society, and listen, there's a lot of nice programs trying to fix it all, but nothing's going to change our world until they know Christ. Amen. And so we ought to have compassion. And then he challenges them to judge what is right. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 4, he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. So Jesus stands the guy up in front of them, and then he turns the question around on them. They want to know, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And Jesus wants to know, is it good, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or is it lawful to do evil? They said, is it lawful to heal? And Jesus says, well, is it lawful to do good? Is it lawful to heal? Well, is it lawful to save life? And when Jesus asked the question, they held their peace. They couldn't say a word against it. Amen. Luke 6 and verse 9 says, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And Mark 3 and verse 5 says, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts." When this guy with the withered hand standing up in front of them, Jesus is trying to get them to have some compassion. He's trying to say, what do you think? You think it's right to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath day? In other words, if your sheep falls in the ditch, you have the power to help your sheep, and you help your sheep. This man has a withered hand, and I have the power to help the man. It's right for me to help him. It's good to do what's right. It's right to do good and to help. And when he looked around, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their hearts. And Jesus, did you read it? It's Mark 3 and verse 5. He looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And in Luke 6 and verse 10, it says, looking round about upon them all. Man, you'd like to think that something Jesus had said had touched their hearts. You know, maybe there's a guy out in the crowd that says, you know what, he's right, because last week my sheep did fall in a ditch and I got it out. You know, it hurt its leg and I got it out and I bandaged it up. I took care of it even though it was the Sabbath day. You know, and this poor guy, he can't even work with his hand like that. Can't provide for his family. He can't take care of his own. You'd like to think that there was somebody in the crowd that had a little compassion, that Jesus got through to some of them, that something that the Lord said made a difference in their hearts. But what I read is, when he looked around on all of them, he looked around on all of them with anger because of the hardness of their hearts. These are people who are supposed to know God. These are people who are supposed to love God. And when you love God, you have to love others. And they had nothing but hardness of their hearts. You know, I look at the Pharisees and the scribes and the Jews. I look at the hardness of their heart, and I'll be honest with you. I look at them with judgment most of the time. I think, how could you be like that? How could you be so cold? How could you be so hard-hearted? How could you not care? How could you have no compassion on your fellow man? But then I get really convicted, because I see people every day, and I see them in their sin, and I see them in their sad condition. I see them in great need of healing from Jesus Christ, and I don't have compassion like I should. You can't drive two blocks from this church without seeing a group of people, families, person after person. You can't drive two blocks from this church without seeing a multitude of people who are in great need of help from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you drive by it week after week, week after week, week after week, and you know what happens? You get hard-hearted. And you know what Jesus feels when he looks at me and you and he sees us with hard hearts? Jesus feels angry. And he's grieved that we would have hardness in our hearts. And we need to have compassion. In Matthew 13, the Bible, Matthew 12 and verse 13, "Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the others." The other. His left hand was in good shape. His right hand was withered up. And I want you to get this. So Jesus tells the man to stand forth. The man stands up. Jesus has already told him about the sheep. He's already asked him, is it good? Is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? And then he looks around the room, and Jesus, I'm telling you, friend, the eyes of the Lord burned into their soul. Make no mistake about it. They had to fight. They had to battle within themselves to hold his gaze. I guarantee you, as Jesus looked around the room, eyes dropped everywhere. You think they could hold the gaze of the Lord? No. And as he looked around the room, the Bible says he looked at all of them. So here he is, the man standing there waiting. Jesus looks around at everybody, and after he's made eye contact, he's looked at everyone, caused every one of them to drop their eyes. He turns to the man and says, "Stretch forth thy hand." I want you to get this. He can't. For as long as his arm's been withered, he can't stretch it forth. Have you seen somebody with a withered hand? They can't straighten it out. They can't stretch it forth. It's here. They physically cannot stretch it forth. It's something that's impossible for them to do. It's just like the lame man. When Jesus said, "Rise up," he can't do that. Jesus asked him to do the one thing he can't do. The lame man, he says, "Rise up." And the man with the withered hand, he says, "Stretch forth thy hand." But the man believed. Amen. Might have been the only man in the room who did believe. Amen. Because when Jesus says, "Stretch forth thy hand," he did the one thing he couldn't do. He stretched forth his hand. And by the time it went from here to here, it was whole like the other. Man, that's awesome. Amen. This dried up, withered, atrophied hand that was good for nothing, that was virtually dead, Jesus made it whole in an instant. Why? Because he obeyed the word of the Lord. Amen. There's healing. There's life. There's restoration. In obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. And mark it down, friend. I don't care what it is in this book. If Jesus commands you to do it, if you'll obey it, it'll bring healing and restoration and life to you. Amen. See the compassion of the helpful Savior. Nobody there cared about the man. They were hard-hearted. They were just there to try to trip Jesus up so they could accuse him. That man was obedient to Jesus and he was healed. Notice lastly the conspiracy of the hate-filled Pharisees. You look at Matthew 12 and verse 14. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Jesus performs a miracle in front of everybody there. This man who had the dried up, withered hand, it's completely healed. And instead of getting together saying, "Man, this must be the Messiah. This has got to be the Christ. How could he do these things unless God sent him?" No, they get together and they want to destroy him. Look at the word that God uses. They don't want to run him out of town. They don't want to silence him. They don't want to say, "Hey, let's not let him in the synagogue anymore." They say, "We want to destroy him." Read about the account in Mark 3, in verse 6, "The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." They got together and said, we gotta destroy this man. And you know what? They said, "We need some help, so we'll go to the Herodians." The Herodians are wicked and evil, and they're really good at getting rid of people that cause them problems. Let's go get some help from them. Luke's account. Luke chapter 6 and verse 11, I want you to look at it. "And they were filled with madness." They hated Jesus so much it made them crazy. "And communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." They saw the miracles of Christ. They saw his power to heal. They were convicted by his word. They were convicted by his look. And they responded by going mad with anger, communing together, conspiring together, taking counsel together, how that they might destroy him. I want you to get this for a second, because I want you to think about people in our day who choose to harden their hearts against Christ. It's not enough for people who reject Christ to sit back and say, "You know what? It's okay if that's what you want to believe. I'll do what I want to do. You do what you want to do and it'll be just fine." But when we start to try to follow Christ and share the gospel with people or hand out gospel tracts or try to actually live a godly life and be an impact on our world for Christ, all of a sudden it's not okay.
Amen.
Now it's not enough that you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe and we'll just tolerate each other. Now, no. We can't have that. You see, they hate Jesus still today.
Amen.
And they don't want to tolerate Jesus. They want to destroy him. They don't want to tolerate him. They want him to be wiped out of our society.
Man.
You want to pray? Great, pray. Pray to God. Pray to whatever God you want to, but don't pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You want to do anything in our community? You want to do some community service? You want to help the children, and you want to have food drives and clothes drives? You want to do all these? That's great, but don't be preaching the gospel. You see, they hate him.
Man.
And if you live for him, they'll hate you too. You know, the reality is most of us don't face any hatred because we don't openly live for the Lord. Nobody's ever going to get mad at you for sharing the gospel with them if you never give anybody a gospel tract. Nobody's ever going to have a problem with you for standing up for your convictions if you don't stand up for your convictions, if you just go along with whatever. Listen, God didn't call us into this world to be friends with the world. He called us to be different than the world and to bring the world to Christ. It's not going to be easy. They hated him, and Jesus told his disciples, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. You know what we've got to do? We've got to make our decision. You got to decide. Do you want to follow Christ or you want to be friends with the world? Because you can't do both.
Amen.
So what's it going to be? Jesus healed this man. He did good, not evil. He saved life. He didn't destroy it.
Amen.
And they hated him the more for it. This evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. While our musicians are coming, would you stand with me, please? You know, there's so much in this passage. We might be like the man with the withered hand. Maybe we've been hurt in some way and it's caused us to not serve the Lord like we should. Maybe something happened and somebody offended us and it caused us to draw back and we haven't exercised ourselves unto godliness. We're like that withered man, man with the withered hand, and we've been hurt in some way. We're not working. We're not serving like we should. Listen, Jesus can restore you in an instant and you can get back to work for the Lord.
Amen.
You don't let anything keep you from serving Jesus Christ. Somebody hurt your feelings, forgive them. We're not here to serve other people first. We're here to serve Christ first.
Amen.
And we've got to learn to move past stuff and get over those hurts and let Jesus heal it. Maybe we're like that man, but maybe we're like the Pharisees. Maybe we've gotten cold, hard hearts. Maybe we don't have compassion on people in need like we should. Maybe we've just gotten complacent. Maybe tonight we need to ask God to soften our hearts. Maybe we need to start looking at people with compassion. Maybe we need to start loving other people as much as we love our own things.
Amen.
Those men loved their sheep, but they didn't love that man with the withered hand. We love our stuff, but do we love others? I don't know what burden might be on your heart, how God might have used his word to convict your heart, but I know this. We all need to make a greater commitment to the Lord. So if he's convicted your heart tonight, I'm going to invite you to come while we sing.
Page 577.
Number 577. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Any decision you need to make for Christ, would you come?